that is it. Thanks, Michael, for asking me to teach. And you know, in real life, Albert's my boss. Did you guys know that? So, for the rest of the time you're here, when you see Albert, ask him to give me a Christmas bonus. Okay? And he's known to be very generous, Albert has. And a real giver, right? So, holiday times are coming. I'm going to teach on the one body with God working with each of us. One body with God working in each of us. I'm going to cover three things, but I'm not sure what they are yet. But when I know, I'll tell you. Okay, I know. The first one is, we are all equal in the body of Christ. Did you know that? We are all equal. There's no rock stars. There's no stars. There's no tiers of importance. Everybody is just as important in the body of Christ. Okay? Number two, as individuals, we each have different long suits or specialties in the body. We each have things to contribute that God working in us with the power of God, only we can do. And they're all different. So we're all just as important in the body of Christ, but we have different things to contribute. You understand that? And number three, when you see Albert, tell him to give me a Christmas card. Number three, I'm going to go over how you know what your long suits are or what your specialties are. We've actually developed a test, Harbor Life Fellowship. It's a questionnaire. It's a 100-page questionnaire. It's got questions like, do you hate everybody and yell at everybody all the time? And if you answer that, we go, you're a prophet. Or we'll say, if you see a bird with a broken wing, what would you do? And if you say, I would take it and heal it, we'll say, you're probably a pastor. But if you say, I would hit it with a stick, we would say, you're Ryan Sanders. You can go to Ephesians 4. Go stand next to Ryan. Ephesians 4, verse 4. There is how many bodies? And that's talking about the body of Christ. We're supposed to be together. There is one body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. How many gods? One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all. And stop a minute. Those next three words, and in most of you. In the 10 most important people. In what? In you all. So it's God in Christ in who? Everybody in the body of Christ. And in you all. Verse 7, but unto every one of us is given different amounts of grace. Is that what that says? But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. We all have the same amount. We all have Christ in us. We all have God in Christ in us. And we're all equal in the body of Christ. We might do different things, but we're all just as important, and we all are supposed to contribute. You understand? Ephesians 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed the leaders with all spiritual blessings. Is that what that says? What's it say? Us. Do you remember what Michael said about Ephesians? It's written to the church, written to all of us. And it says, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Which believers have all spiritual blessings? Every believer. Every believer. So you like this so far, right? Because we're all equal, right? But that means who's more responsible for this whole thing? The leaders. The fellow laborers. Michael. You have all spiritual blessings. You have God and Christ in you. You are just as responsible as the talking heads and the people who sweep. Anyone else, right? You are just as responsible for this thing. In Romans 3, and by this thing, I mean the body of Christ and what it's supposed to be doing. In Romans 3, verse 21, it says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto most who believe. No. How many believers are righteous? How many believers have all their sins forgiven and have total access to God? And so you better be nice to them, because they have access to God too, right? So every believer is righteous and has total access to God. And then it says in the end of verse 22, for there is what? And differences, there's no distinction. There's no separation. There's no distinction between believers. There's no some important believers and some not important believers. There's no rock stars. There's no, you know, different tiers of believers. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace to the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We've all sinned, fallen short, and God made us what? Righteous, every one of us. Look at Matthew 23. This is what Jesus Christ had to say about status in groups, and who's important and who's not. And do you think he knew what he was talking about and was concerned about it? Personally, I like status in groups. I wish I had more. But if you want to go by the word, we're all what? Equal. Because look, I'm up here talking. Don't I deserve better treatment than you? And I don't. Oh. Who else would like to do this then? Now, Matthew 23:6, and it's talking about bad leaders. And if you want to read all about it, start in verse 1. But to save time, because I know a lot of you old people are in bed usually by now, including myself, by the way. And they love the uppermost rooms at the feast and the chief seats in the synagogue. They love the status, right? But if the word is true, who has the status? Every believer has the status. And they love greetings in the markets, at the breaks. And to be called rabbit. No. And to be called, they love to be called great one. That guy's great. That's what they want. We're in a group. I want to be the great one. Is that right? Nope. Well, we'll see what Jesus Christ said. And greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, rabbi, great one, honorable one. But he says, Jesus Christ said, but be not you called rabbi, for one is your master, even who? In our administration, who's our head? And we're the body. He's our head, and we're all equal in the body of Christ. But we do different things really well with God working in us. You understand? But we're all just as responsible, and we're all responsible to do what we do if it's going to work the way God intends. And verse 9, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, who is Papa, the Pope. Is that your father? Who's your father? Oh, what about this? Which of you wants to be called master in here? And you know what master means? Master. Neither be you called masters, for who's your master? Christ. But he that is greatest among you, now this is in the godly culture, he that is greatest among you shall be your what? And that's what we are. We're servants to each other. We serve each other. We take care of each other. And in God's culture, the greatest are the servants. Not the ones who get waited on. Not the ones who, you know, get the star treatment. They are the what? The servants. The servants. Look at 1 Corinthians 3. Did you touch this water bottle? Because it's open. 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 21. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. Every believer has everything that God can give, all spiritual blessings. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. For what? Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And minister here is an under rower or common sailor. Just we're all rowing the boat together. Now, Corinthians is a reproof epistle because they were glorifying certain people over other people in the body of Christ. You do need people to like captain the ship, don't you? And that's somebody's function. But as far as who's more important, we're all what? Just rowing. this guy is an under rower or common sailor, a hand. And you, what's matey in Spanish? A matey. What's that? She doesn't know. That was weird. It's a hand. You know what a subordinate is? What's a subordinate? Someone who's under someone else. Don't we all take our orders? From whom? Christ. He's the head, God. We're all just taking orders. And we're all just rowing the boat together. That's a good way to think of the body of Christ. We're all rowing the boat. Now, what if the guy next to you doesn't want to pull his oar? What happens? We kill him. But that's what we are. We're just all rowing the boat together. We're rowing the boat together. So, as far as importance goes, every believer is equally important, right? And equally necessary. And if believers don't do what they do, something is missing in this whole operation, what the body of Christ is supposed to do. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, it says, now you are the body of Christ. All of us together are the body of Christ, and members in particular. You're in the body of Christ, but as an individual, you're a member. You're a part of the body of Christ, correct? And in particular means a part or portion assigned to you. You're a member, you're a part of the body of Christ with a portion assigned to you. God already has something assigned for you to do in order for all of this to work. And so, like I said, the body of Christ is one. Everybody's equally important, but different people have different portions assigned to them, different things to do. You have things that you do with the Spirit of God working in you, with, you know, God working in you that only you can do. And you do it really, really well. And if you don't do it, it's missing from the body of Christ. And for some of you guys, if you're wondering what is it or whatever, it might be something that you've never tried before. You might be one of the best ministers of healing ever, but how would you know if you never pray for anybody or if you never minister to anybody? You understand? You might even not even know. You might be an evangelist, but how would you know if you never speak the word, right? So you should try to do things that make you uncomfortable maybe, and you might find out that some of these things are just so easy for you. Like Bob taught about prayer, just so simple. But the point is, you know, get busy doing it and see what it is. Does that make sense? You're looking at me like I'm weird. Yeah. I don't like to be treated like I'm weird. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. Did what I say was wrong? 1 Corinthians 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so is Christ. So the illustration is, it's a body, but there's lots of parts. There's lots of different parts. For by one Spirit are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but a lot. If the foot shall say, I'm not important, I'm not necessary. If the foot shall say, I am not of the body, is it not of the body? No. What if you think that you're not that important to this whole thing? Does that mean you're not important? No. What if you didn't have a foot? How well would you walk around? Thank you, not so well. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear says, what I'm doing is not that important, does it make it not important? Is it still necessary? So what is this really talking about? People, right? So do you think you're necessary? Even if you think you're not necessary, you are necessary. You are needed. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? That would be in the feet. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. As it hath pleased him. He's given you some portion in this. And if all were, and if they were all one member, where would the body be? There wouldn't be. And so, who designed the body of Christ? God did. And talk talk about a solution. This is God's solution to this present evil world, to help people. The body of Christ with the living God working in each and every individual, rolling through this world, people doing their specialties, not only helping the body of Christ, but helping the people and nations of the world also with what they do. We are the solution to the darkness of this world, the body of Christ, with you doing what you do and I do what I do. Like I said, not just taking care of each other, taking care of the darkness in this world, taking care of the nations of this world, representing God on this earth, wherever we go, as the body of Christ, bringing that deliverance. In the same verse that I just read, verse 20, but now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. And so can anyone say to another part of the body, you're not necessary? No. Need is necessary for some purpose, indispensable. You can't say to someone else, I don't need you. And this also has the connotation that everybody, like everybody at this advance, can do something cool for you. They have God in Christ in them. They have all spiritual blessings. And they can do something wonderful for you because of who they are in the body of Christ. They have some things necessary for your life. And that also means as you're wandering around eating coffee and drinking watermelons and stuff like that, you have things that are absolutely necessary for the other people here. You understand? And so when you're talking to each other, pretend like you have something really cool. Just pretend you have God and Christ in you. And you might have something really cool that would really bless that person. Just pretend. But also, look to see what they have. You know, I've had some people come up to me like maybe 10 times this weekend and say the perfect thing I needed to hear. Right? Like one person said, you're not bald. It's so great. But I've had so many people come up and just something comes out of them, just their heart, their tenderness, their enthusiasm that is just wonderful. Right? God in Christ in each and every believer. So you can't say, I don't have need of that person. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee, of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be feeble are what? So don't overlook anybody. And don't overlook yourself. You know, maybe because like there's a few guys who stand up here and talk and who seem to be in charge. We're all in charge. We're all responsible. And we're all necessary, right? And there's some things you can do that no one has to ask you to do or assign for you to do. Can you pray? Can you give? Can you love? Yeah. There's a lot of things that you can do that no one has to tell you to do. Can you try to help someone next to you? Can you see if you can bless somebody? Can you be interested in other people's lives? There's lots of stuff we do for each other. And you are necessary. You know, I thought that it was an advanced Western thought that taught these things that all men are equal and every individual is important. Where does it come from? God's Word. God's Word. Look at verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 12. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. We're to care for each other what? Does that mean that some people should be cared about more? Some people should be catered to more than others. We should care for each individual. This is pretty radical, isn't it? Because there's not many groups like this in the world, is there? And there's a lot of Christian groups that aren't like this. But each person should have the same care in the body of Christ. Is that what that says? But that the members should have this same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members tell it to renew their mind and shut up. And whether one member suffer, what? Or one be honored, all are pissed that that guy got honored. I'm sorry, not pissed. Mad. Now you are the body of Christ and members with a portion. You all have a portion. You all have a lot in this. You all have a function, something to do that God has assigned to you. Now, verses 28 through 30 express that every believer has a specific ministry or service to perform. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that the After that, miracles, then gift of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And you're supposed to read like that. There's just all different things that we all do, right? Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? It's talking about in the church. Suppose that Michael was planning this advance, and he asked every one of you to teach. What time do you think you go to bed? In the church, some people do something, some people don't. What if he had everybody speak in tongues and interpret to each other? No. See, I understand, right? There's all different things that the believers do, but they're necessary. And if that believer doesn't do their portion or lot, it's a loss for the body. And they don't get the enjoyment of God working in that person with his power, them using the manifestations with their long suit, and taking care of the body of Christ. You got that? Here's some more things that people are going to look at. Romans 12. Are we making sense so far? I don't have a poem, I'm sorry. I know a poem by Ogden Nash. It's God in his wisdom made the fly and then forgot to tell us why. That's a real poem. But it doesn't apply to anything. And it's not true. It's blasphemy. Romans 12, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, all members, we're all in the body, but we're all different parts. We're all different parts. And we do not have the same office, which is things that we do, things that we have done, or functions. We all have different functions. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. We're stuck together. You affect me, and I affect you. And, you know, it's not just at this advance, like Stephanie said. It's what we do with our lives, what we do in real life. And, like I said, we're not just supposed to be taking care of each other in the body of Christ. Say you're in a place where you're the only believer. You're still supposed to do what you're supposed to do as the body of Christ. You're still supposed to be a light in the world and try to bless your community and try to show some kindness and love and, you know, show people the love of God and all that in your community. Aren't you? Yeah. That's what God wants the body of Christ to do. And if you don't do that, what you do is lost. It's not there. And so God says, verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. One of the things you might be good at is what? Prophesy. Or ministry, and that's serving. Someone might be really good at serving. Let us wait on ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching. For he that exhorteth, this word exhorteth, it's that word that means to call someone to your side and speak to them, to try to have some effect on them, to calm them down, to comfort them, to give them some peace. And it's saying that that's one of a long suit someone might have. You might have a long suit in just calming people down. You know, talking to someone one-on-one and helping them with their lives, to calm down about their lives or to get it. That's called a long suit. Now, there's lots of long suits that aren't mentioned. But isn't that an interesting one? And that would be God working in you, God giving you revelation, God showing you what to do, the power of God in action, and it's just, you're good at it. Maybe some of you are good at that. You should try talking to people. I tried this a couple years ago, and I found out I'm not good at it. But at least I tried. Because I just go, really? Really? Uh-huh. No, that's not well. But, you know, you could have a long suit where you just have a way of calling people to your side and calming them down, giving them some peace about stuff, exhorting, comforting them, right? He that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Isn't that a weird long suit, to give? Someone who's just real, and that's talking about with your spiritual ability, the God in Christ in you, that you're just really good at giving. And it says with simplicity, with no ulterior motive. It's like where we work, there's a lot of believers, but there's a lot of unbelievers too. But they all like working there. They say it's a really kind place to work. And because we're really kind to people there. And even if they don't get into the word, guess what? We're still really kind. And we know some of them are never going to get in the Word. Some of them, well, I'm not going to tell you anything about them, but if I told you, it would make me seem like not a good person, and never mind. But they're not going to get in the Word. So, but we still just bless them and you know, are kind to them. And how about the people that you work with? How about the people in your community? You represent God in Christ on this earth. You take the place of the absent Christ. So just be kind to people. And maybe you're really good at giving with nothing expected. Just giving stuff out to people with your spiritual ability, including that. He that ruleth with diligence. And ruleth means the one who's, you know, someone has to be in charge of this, right? And that's most of your long suits, really, being in charge. I would say all of you should be in charge. But somebody has to be in charge, right? If you have more than two people, someone has to make decisions, right? And stand over the whole thing. Well, that's a long suit, too. But it doesn't make them more important than the one who gives, does it? It's just another long suit with the same spirit working in there. And look at this one. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And that's compassion. You might be really, really good with the God in Christ in you in conveying compassion to other people. And you can find out about this like tomorrow. You know, be interested. Think like this. Can I help this person? And if they don't need any help, can I do anything to bless this person with the God in Christ in me? Or maybe this person, what can they do for me? Like maybe they have something really special peeking from behind their eyes that will really help me. You know? So all of us have long suits. And it's, you know, how God works in you. It's with the power of God and Christ in you. How do you know what they are? Look at 1 Corinthians 12. Stephanie covered this pretty well. Get busy doing stuff, right? In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31, you know, it's right after it names all these different long suits. It says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And what's the more excellent way? Love. How do you know? Love people. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Just noise. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, that's the love of God, I'm what? Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. And here's two things charity is. Charity is very, very patient. And charity is kind, which means actively beneficent, actively trying to help people to do good things. And if you love people with the love of God, you care about them. You care about their welfare. You have goodwill towards people. You want their lives to be okay. It's like what Stephanie said. You want God's will in their lives. You want them to prosper. You want them to be in health. You want them to have a nice family. You want them to have an abundant life. You care about them. And you're willing to sacrifice of yourself to do something to help them. You're willing to act. You're willing to put yourself out there. You're willing to lay down your life for that person. And if you live like that, you'll find out what you're good at. You'll find out. Look at Matthew 9. Another thing I'd like to mention is sometimes people have no idea what they are really good at, and they need an elder to help them, right? You know, we're supposed to see the good in people, right? The stuff that's honorable. Well, sometimes you elders need to help people along to show them what they're really good at. Give them chances to do stuff. You know, I had a guy take an interest in me, and he had me do stuff that I would have never done on my own, ever. But it turned out I was good at it, you know. But if he hadn't been alive, I probably wouldn't do it. So let's take a minute to cry. Are we done? Matthew 9. That's true, though. I had a guy take an interest in me, and I was just like, I didn't think I'd ever do anything in front of anybody. I wanted to be a cook or a poster maker. What's wrong with that? That was a trick to see what you thought. What? Well, yeah. I meant to say a pasta maker. I'm from New Jersey. I'm not really from New Jersey. Matthew 9, verse 34. This is my test to see if I really have compassion on people. I go to Walmart and think of these verses. People think I go to Walmart, you know, just because I enjoy it. It's just a test to see where I'm at. I think I saw the entire tour group from Leonard Skinner at the Walmart this last time. Like they've been touring with Leonard Skinner for like 300 years, it looked like. Verse 36 of Matthew 9. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with what? On them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. They were in bad shape. And what did Jesus Christ have on them? Compassion. And if you have compassion on people, he wanted to help them. I wanted to help those Leonard Skinner people. But I wasn't there yet. I just laughed. No. I'm hoping to get there. But Jesus Christ would have seen, you know, wacky people or whatever like this, and what would he do? He would be moved. I want to help these people. I want to help these people. And that's what the body of Christ does. It represents to this world God working, God helping, God loving. You know, God has no other hands but whose hands? Who's God's voice? The ones who speak God's word. You know, and the body of Christ is to be healing to this world, to help people in this world who need help. Like the stuff Stephanie read about the opening of Jesus Christ's ministry, to heal the brokenhearted, right? To set the captives free. The body of Christ is supposed to do that. It takes the place of the absent Christ with the power of God in each individual and with specialties, wants that in each individual does in the world and for each other. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers unto the harvest. Look at Galatians 5. Verse 13, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. We love each other, and in the body of Christ, we become servants. I think about what I can do for you. I humble myself. It's God first, others second. I am willing to be third. I think about what I can do with my life to help you, what I can do with my abilities to help you. I want to serve people because I love them. By love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Look at Philippians 2. So love people, but love is active. Love is having compassion. Love is getting in there and representing God, trying to help somebody, trying to help someone with their marriage, trying to help someone with their life, trying to help someone who's all bound up, trying to help an alcoholic, trying to help a broken marriage, trying to help a brokenhearted person, getting in there with that person. And then you start to see what you can nail. You get revelation on it. You recognize the devil's spirits. You just nail it. And then the body of Christ is having its effect in this world. And, of course, it also works to take care of each other. In Philippians 2, verse 3, it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. You're more important than me. You know, the worst master you'll ever have is yourself. Who's more critical of you than you? Why do you wear that shirt today? Might as well just serve God, right? Serve God and, you know, be more into helping other people than, you know, yourself. Don't be selfish. Because we know that being selfish makes you terribly unhappy, doesn't it now? Huh? You say it doesn't? You said it doesn't. Okay. Look not every man, verse 4, on his own things, but be interested, but every man also on the things of others. Be interested in other people's life. That's the great way to live, not just your own. And that includes the believers that are around you and the unbelievers that might need your help. Look around. You have so much to offer with God in Christ in you, with all spiritual blessings, with access to God. You can really operate the power of God to be a blessing on this earth. And so look to bless. See what you can do. See what you can do for people. Can you help them? Maybe they don't need help. Can you bless them? Can you take a load off of them? Can you say something that builds them up? Can you say something that comforts them? Look to bless. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Be like Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And that's just saying, he was the only begotten Son of God. He could have done anything he wanted. He could have run the world, right? It was offered him. But made himself of no reputation, and that could be translated, he emptied himself. Didn't matter what he wanted. He emptied himself. That's a cool way to be, I'll tell you what. Where you don't even care what you want. How horrible is it to just be thinking about, what's going to make me happy now? What's going to make me happy now? What do I need now? What's going to make me feel good now? It's just nice to be more interested in, well, how can you help someone else? How can you serve God? How can you walk? What can you do for people? He just, do you think he wanted to do stuff with his life? He emptied himself and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of a man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. And someone who's humble is willing to lower himself. You're not the most important person. Other people are important. God's will is important. You lower yourself. You humble yourself. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That the name of Jesus, I guess it worked out pretty well for him. That at the name of Jesus, how many knees are going to bow? Every person who ever lived is going to bow to him eventually. Every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. Everybody's going to admit that he is the Lord before this is over. Every person who was ever alive. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Have some respect for God. Have some respect for God. Do what God wants you to do. Like Stephanie taught, not what you want to do. Obey, humble yourselves. Do what God wants you to do. Walk with him. Agree with him. For what? It is God which worketh in you, both the will and to do of his good pleasure. He is working in you. He is working in you. He wants the world to be blessed by all of us, the body of Christ. He does. He is energized in you. But look at this. Do all things without bitching and moaning, right? You're going to be asked to do things you might not want to do, right? That's going to be worked in you. Just do it. Just do it. Do all things without murmuring and bitching, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. It's always been a crooked and perverse nation. And we're in the midst of it. And what are we supposed to do for the nations of the world? Shine as lights. And there's a definition of light in the Old Testament word studies. It's so cool. It says, light in darkness is encouragement, comfort and good hope. Light represents encouragement. Light represents comfort. Light represents good hope. Who designed this poster? Who? Why didn't you have a bat coming over the ridge there? Why did you have a light coming over the ridge? What does that represent, that visual right there? Like hope, encouragement. It's like, I guess, kind of dark. By the way, that's not a scratch over there. That's a ridge on that side. But what is this? It represents, how come she didn't put carrots coming over there? Because that's what light represents. And also, you know, there's a phrase in Psalms and in Job, the light of his countenance. It means his cheerful face. that light is cheerful. Think about that. Light is cheerful. This is the holiday season. Are there going to be carrots on all the stores and cucumbers? What's going to be on all the stores? Or in that the incredible town of Cleveland, when we came in, not Cleveland, yeah, Cleveland? Helen, we came in at night. What was on all the buildings? And what does that do? It's just so, it was happy. It was cheerful. And that's one of the ways that light is used as a figure. It's just cheerful. In a dark place, it's cheerful. On a dark night, when the light comes up, it's encouraging. It gives hope. And that's what you're supposed to do in this world. You're supposed to give people some cheer. Be like the lights on the trees and all the stuff during the holiday time. Just a blessing. Give people encouragement. Give people hope. Be a light in this world. Finally, in Ephesians 2. Does that make sense? Ephesians 2, verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. That's Jews and Gentiles. But we all have access. Did I say Ephesians 2? Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. And whose household are you in? And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. The body of Christ is like where God is. And on this earth, where can people meet God? Where can people know what the love of God is? Where can people be healed by God? Where can people be helped by God? In the body of Christ, in that building.